It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and completely debauched scumbaggery doos having wild sex orgies in the forest, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And speaking of experts on wild men and savagery types of costumes and clan outfits and whatnot, having wild sex orgies in the woods, it's Anthony J. Hilder. Welcome to the show.
I am happy to be here and talk about the, I would say the vortex of the vampire. That's where everything sucks down into that anus, and that's the place that has given us the atomic bomb. That's where they created it, or they started the Manhattan Project, and from there it went into the bombing on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the two most heavily Christian populations, the most heavily Christian population in all of Japan. By the way, they dropped the bomb after the war was over.
Overtures
for surrender.
Yeah, the Japanese have been trying to surrender for ages, and they're like, no, we're going to keep this war going. We don't have the bombs ready yet, mate. We can't just incinerate all these anti-satanic Christians.
Well, it's sort of like that guy out there in the 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. He's talking about the war of the week. There'll be another war next week. They say that we must bomb those dirty, nasty, brown-skinned people because they don't have a right to exist, and the Muslims and, the Arabs, you know, you've got to do away with these people, and then, of course, there's some other people we've got to deal away with, and I say deal away with just as in cards. You make a shuffle, and you... throw out one particular hand and get another. The plan, of course, is global government. That's the royal flush. That's the reduction of the population by 95%.
Can I ask you something, Anthony? Because I really wanted to talk with you about Bohemian Grove, primarily because my Prime Minister, John Key, who is a former Merrill Lynch and Federal Reserve derivatives trader at a very high level, visited northern San Francisco at a time in which they were allegedly having some kind of economic conference at the exact same time that Bohemian Grove was in session, as it were. Do you think that he might have attended?
Well, that would have been in July. We had Russia TV come out there, Russia Today, and the boys at the Grove, some of them run around nude. It's like the Castro district in San Francisco. They bone some of the boys and the bum, and it's heavy into that sort of thing. Of course, they do sacrifice the children at the foot of the Owl of Moloch. They throw them into the fire, and you hear the screams. But people say, well, that's just for fun. That's just for fun. You don't know what they do when they get serious. But I'm calling for a dig. I'm calling for the uncovering. I'm calling for the uncovering of the buried bodies. If they are buried in the Grove, I would like to unleash the cadaver dogs and go through that 2,700 acres along the Russian River near Monterio and discover just how many crimes have been committed. These people need to be in jail, not running the countries of the world. We call it Bohemian Grove, but we call it Bilderberg West. Bilderberg West, Bohemian Grove, the Illuminati, it's all one and the same, and we have a new film. I just finished the cover last night. So we need to discover just who's doing what to whom. And just how often. Yeah, I think your friend, maybe, if he had a meeting in San Francisco around the same time, the odds are that they would coordinate those two activities
Is that something that happens a lot? Maybe they go to that northern San Francisco under the pretext of going on a business trip or a business weekend or something of that nature, and they don't tell people they're going to Bohemian Grove? Or is Clinton just like to everybody, hey, I'm off to the Grove, guys, I'll see you next week?
Well, you know, the Grove lasts for several weeks. They've got cabins there. They've, like, the Kissinger cabin. I've got a fellow who's actually living in the street, or on the street in his car, who took pictures. And some of those pictures are in our film, and then we have some of the shots overhead from our film. And
it's a substantial facility. Basically, it's got all the mod cons. It's not like you're living back in old-school rustic Alaska, is it?
And
I believe the huts even come with their own theme music.
Me, you know, on the other line, we're gonna do this show, and I'll wait for the Grove call until after.
Exactly. Are you waiting tables there?
Yeah, I was. I think some of the fellows who have waited tables there have come forth with that information. We were out at the that goes out. This sounds crazy on the show, but I got to get rid of this call here. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah. I kind of first heard about the Bohemian Grove back in the day. I was on some occult documentary. I forget what. And what surprised me is just the substantial amounts of presidents that go to this very kind of secretive private road.
You've got to go to the Grove
backwards.
To become a president. You got to be one of the boys who run around nude, or lay nude in the coffin and masturbate like the Bush boys. They were born again into the Satanic Order. Magog was the name of George Sr. George is a frequent participant before the Owl of Moloch when they sacrificed the children. And, of course, there are more than just rumors. There's a book called The Franklin Cover-Up about George Sr. and the molestation stories. Of course, we should not believe that, Vinny. Vinny, I don't mean to spread all of these wild rumors. I mean, we might have some people actually believe that this stuff goes on, although maybe several thousand do.
There's an old saying, don't believe it until it's been officially denied.
Yes. Well, they say that nothing goes on there. Everything, you know, it's just, it's been going on this
yeah.
is the 100th year.
What? Okay, look at this. The naivety that you'd have to think the world's most powerful men with the most copious quantities of cash would meet up for 3 weeks in absolute secrecy and not talk about anything dirty.
Vinny, you're stretching it. You think that these guys, just because they create wars, just they dropped the atomic bomb on the Christian population of Japan after it was over, the fact that they knew about the Pearl Harbor attack before it occurred, Churchill?
That was detected by Australian intelligence, if there is such a thing, the massive fleet heading towards Pearl Harbor. They're like, hey, America, they're going to come and get you. And they're like, nah, we'll be sweet as, man.
I hear all of the stuff that's going on in Australia, and I think, my God almighty, I think
25.
Maybe the Grove boys have set up something down under. When they get down under, they generally go for some other objective. God, but, you know, and the Aussies, I mean, I don't know what the hell's happened to them. This is a god-awful situation.
Yeah, what have we got now? 2,500 US troops now training in Australia. I was thinking, isn't this starting to happen with US troops positioning themselves sort of all around the globe? Even New Zealand is now going to have them in, and a lot of it's been expanded and happening more recently. And I'm starting to think that there must be a third world war coming in very, very imminent fashion. Either that, or there's going to be a massive economic collapse, and they're going to need foreign troops to suppress the indigenous population because their own troops won't do it. My very special guest today is Anthony J. Hilder. The fabulous Anthony J. Hilder. Welcome back from break.
Well, that sounds good. I just call me the fabulous.
Okay, you shall be hereforth known as simply the fabulous, like Madonna.
Ah, yeah. Well, that's great. My friend Alan Carna in the UK in the Cornwall area is going to be coming along with me in some of my ventures throughout the UK, and well, Cornwall, Wales, Scotland, the Isle of Man, with some music. He was sort of like the at one time the new Keith Richards, but now he's more like an older Keith Richards, I guess. But he and his lady friend and I will be making the joint venture to multiple cities throughout England and throughout Western Europe. I really want to go to New Zealand. I've always fantasized living there, because it's just one of the best places in the world to live. But I don't know about the government. How is the government there, Vinny?
It's kind of like exactly like the U.S., except maybe with about 5 years less tyranny progression.
Well, I would not suggest that New Zealand, if you're listening to New Zealand, that you allow U.S. troops to come in and invade your property.
Too late.
It's too late?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's time to kick them out on their ass.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, it might have been quite a few. I'm not sure where I heard that or what the figures are. So at least I think that there are US troops in there. But what was interesting is during the massive Christchurch earthquake that we had, there were something like 900 New Zealand troops there and 9 US congressmen who jumped on a plane and got the F out of there 2 hours before the quake hit. But they left behind the head guy from FEMA to coordinate the cleanup effort.
Well, he was to coordinate the quake.
Yeah.
When I say coordinate the quake, if those of you who have not listened to this show long enough, it's time that you start listening to the fact that the U.S. government, are those who control the U.S. government through the Council on Foreign Relations and the Federal
Trilateral Reserve Commission.
They have the capacity to create earthquakes through the HAARP technology. That's the High Altitude Auroral Research Project. The Fukushima quake that occurred in the trench off Japan, which brought about the tsunami, is a direct result of Tesla technology developed. If you take a look at our film, Air Auschwitz, you'll see that we have registered on a, it's on our film. We just turn it on, and there is a screen of the HAARP in operation. On May or March 8th of this year, there's nothing. It's like looking at a blank television screen. After midnight, they turned that sucker on. It looked like the inside of a crematorium. Am I fooling you? No. All you have to do is take a look at the screen. Take a look at the film, Air Auschwitz. It proves that the Fukushima quake was created. Does the fact that the four congressmen left hours before the Christchurch quake
proved
that it was created?
Yeah, it was.
Well, I would
it
say
was,
that they would have to be the number one suspects.
Yeah, I interviewed Benjamin Fulford on this, and I've had a request from the listeners to get him back on again. And he said what those congresspeople and all those high-level officials were there to do was to bargain with the New Zealand government to provide a refugee status for 1 million US refugees that they're expecting to come in here next year. And we said no, and then they stepped on a plane, and then boom, shake up.
Well, if they don't obey, they get hit. Japan was talking about going into an independent currency, and they were hit. Do I think these sons of bitches and bastards and the bankers who screw us every day and every night in every way would do something of this nature? Do I think they meet at the Bohemian Grove and at the Bilderberg meetings? Well, this is Bilderberg West. Like I say, it's the vortex of the vampire. It sucks you down, it sucks you in, it sucks you under. And of course, these guys do more than travel down that highway. They travel other highways with the boys, and they sacrifice the children. Do I think that there should be, yes, there must be a dig. There must be an exhumation. I don't know if that's the word. We create it. Exhume the bodies of those children. Do I think it's a vampirian operation, a Luciferian operation? Absolutely. Do I think that they did Christchurch? Well, I think you damn well better, you know, take a look into it.
And yeah, well, yeah, we covered
damn
that.
Well better suspect those sons of bitches that were down there to visit you.
Yeah, we covered the Christchurch quake quite extensively on this show. We had a number of people familiar with HAARP and even scalar weaponry, and there were reports of something like 40 sonic booms above the city before the quake hit. People saw what appeared to be meteors coming out of the sky. People saw rainbow clouds. And the fact that there was troops in Lyttelton Harbour, not a couple of k's from the city, running a emergency relief drill on that exact same day, if all those coincidences and known HAARP signatures don't give it away, maybe this will. There's also a New Zealand HAARP facility not 15 minutes from the city, which one of the listeners to the show actually took the initiative to go out there and take a snapshot of all of these different aerials and antennas that they got running all over the place.
Benny, if it was not for your show and for you delving into this in New Zealand, who else would there be? Who else would there be?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. There's a couple of other shows here.
Not a single son of a bitch has the balls to stand up and do what you're doing down there. And if you don't have others listen to the show, you need to pick up your phone, call them, and tell them to listen to the Vinny Eastwood show. Because this may be the only truth that you get. It may be the only opportunity that you get. And
yeah.
I've really got to thank my friend in the UK, Karna, for providing me this phone call, because I'm wrapped up doing a show. I'm going to be doing it. My television show is going to go up on Sky TV. It's a paradigm shift TV in the UK. I think we've got 10 million satellites. I don't know what that's going to translate into unless people start listening to this. This is one that is sort of like on the edge of the Theo Chalmers show. It's on a different band. But God bless New Zealand. God bless your show, and God bless you, friend. We need to have this information spread throughout the country. In fact, I would like to get to you. Do you use English Pal down there?
English pal? What is that? I have some English pals, but I'm not sure the ones you're talking about. Like our mutual limey bastard acquaintance, old Alan Carner from English Riviera Productions.co.uk is his website. And ladies and gentlemen, you can check him out there. He has some amazing, amazing songs. If you want to, this is what I think about music in terms of it. Music puts you back in tune with a lot of things. And what Alan Carner does is he provides incredible production quality to his music, and he sings about stuff that you and I and everybody else actually should care about, you know, freedom and such. That's what he does. And I also want to kind of extend my thanks to him for introducing me to Anthony J. Hilder, because he's obviously fabulous, as I said before.
Well, we are not old friends, but I like to think of us as young friends with a great future. And maybe we can get a whole production going down under, or going to the land down under, so that we survive. We've got to survive this. We've got to thrive this. These banking bastards, these people who operate the monetary system down there, are ruled by those who control the monetary system in the city within the city in London.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Rothschilds, the Rockefellers.
We even have a physical
trial.
Representation. In our Reserve Bank, when you go up there, up the stairs and behind the desk, there's a big red shield there.
Whoa, a red shield. What could that possibly be? Red shields. Red shields. What is that in German?
A Rothschild.
A Rothschild. Oh, I was on their estate over there, you know. I went over to this meeting, and my friend said, well, the Rothschilds have got a place not far from here. I said, well, let's go over there. He said, well, you mean I'll drive? He was going to drive me up. And I said, well, let's go knock on the door. He said, well, you can't do that. I said, why not? I'm an American. He doesn't know that I don't know any better. I'll just knock on the door, and maybe we can have a cup of tea. Maybe we can discuss this. As we were going down to the Rothschilds, I take a look out there in this sheep pasture, and here's a pyramid. I said, oh, my God, it's a glass pyramid. It's like the 666-pane glass pyramid at the Louvre Museum. And not only is it like that, but if I were to make an educated guess, I'd say it would be done by the same architect.
Of
and
course.
As I found out later, it is by the same architect. What a coincidence. What a good, oh, God. Sometimes when you guess them and you guess them right, you got it going. So I'm asking him about what he knew about this. He says, well, he is from Wales, and it's not that far. And we're taking a look out there. He says, well, I was around at that time. I guess he was picking up some magic mushrooms, which grow out in the pasture amongst the sheep dung. And they had dug this huge Christian cross in the ground. Dug it. I don't know how deep it was, but they put then concrete slabs on the sides to hold to block it in. Then after that was done, they put a Celtic cross over the Christian cross. And then they put earth on top of that. I guess this is all some sort of underground cavern below, and then on top they built the pyramid, and then on top of they about halfway up, just like on the eye of Lucifer, which is on the back of the U.S. dollar bill, they tweaked the top to the side, built up up to the top, and then they put about 30-foot spire on top of that. And I said, well, let's go over there and see this. He said, well, that's private property. Well, maybe it's, you know, if the Rothschilds control the Bank of England. I guess the Bank of England owns the property, maybe. I mean, isn't that public?
Oh, no, and that's the funny thing as well. They say, oh, no, these are publicly owned banks and all that kind of stuff. Then why do they say private property on them, you nutbar?
Yeah, you know, one can never underestimate the intelligence of the American people. And when I got over there, I thought, my God, I am certainly limited in my thoughts here. I'm thinking of those dumb bastards who see something like this go up near their own town, and they wonder, they don't even ask what the hell's going on. But a few of them did this in this little patriotic group that I spoke at. And we went over the fence, or around the fence, and out into the pasture. Well, around the first fence, around the second fence, and got way the hell out of there, out there. I didn't see any security. You know, I didn't know if anyone was looking at us with binoculars. But we got out there, and there's another little wire fence, and I said, it's an electric fence. He said, well, that's no problem. We can just go over that. I said, well, I don't want to push it. I was supposed to speak in Bristol the next morning, and I passed on that opportunity, but we took pictures, and I did some commentary, which will come out on my show, on the Paradigm Shift, Paradigm Shift TV. That's over Sky TV. It'll be on the 7th. Today is the 5th. Tomorrow's the 6th. The following day, the 7th. So we're going to bring bits and pieces of information, and I hope, Benny, we can come down to that beautiful island nation and bring this information out to your people so we can save them from going the way of Australia and the United States.
Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and check out the featured interviews page at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. as well, and I think I'll probably be putting this interview here with Anthony on there as well, because it's just so much fun. And what we wanted to get out of this interview, or at least what I wanted to get out of this interview with Anthony J. Hilder, is actually a little bit about himself and what actually woke him up to the truth and sent him on this journey. Anthony, if you wouldn't mind letting me know a little bit about your personal background and kind of what motivated you to sort of change course, if there wasn't a course to change at all.
Well, I was about 12 or 13 in San Francisco. My uncle was a house painter, he was a painting contractor, and he had a friend in the FBI, and this was after the war. My father had been in the Second World War, and I was reading a comic book across from him near Twin Peaks, and he was playing pinochle with his friend, the FBI. And as I was reading the comic book, and I had been a fan of Roosevelt and a fan of what I considered to be the good guys in the war, I simply was taking close attention, taking a look at them play and listening to what they were saying. They were talking about covering up the Pearl Harbor attack that wound up killing about 3,000, well, almost 3,000, 2,900 Americans. This supposedly a surprise attack. And I had gone up and raised monies for the March of Dimes, Roosevelt's thing for the polio, and I'd listened to these fired afternoon chats of Roosevelt on the radio, and I supported my father. I supported all of those things that were for America. Mom's apple pie. I listen to the good guys. I believed in all of the things that I was sold. And I was sold, and I bought all of those patriotic things, which led me to believe that we were going in the right direction when we were going in the wrong direction, that we were going up rather than going down, that we were getting out of war rather than going into a perpetual war for a perpetual peace. No, it wasn't peace. It was a perpetual war to bring about global government. And Roosevelt was a rotten son of a bitch. In fact, I would like to unearth that son of a bitch and bury his remains in the sewer system of Washington, D.C., along with Sir Edward Heath, which is buried over there at Salisbury, and throw his body in the sewer system of London.
Well, did you know Belgium is now proposing to do exactly that with their dead people, to dissolve them down and flush them into the sewers to save them from global warming, because apparently it's too bad for the environment to bury them properly.
You know, we all have opinions. My opinion is that Roosevelt was a traitor. My opinion, the current president of the United States is a traitor. And the current presidents of the United States are selected. They are not elected, they are selected by those who control the banking system, those who control the manufacture and printing of paper, and having that paper sold to us. You asked us, how did I become involved? I became upset. I knew that I found, listening to my uncle and this friend in the FBI, I knew that we had been conned, that we had been snookered. I've got a friend who just recently died, also in the FBI, former FBI, Ted L. Gunderson. He was sitting in this very room just earlier this year. He died around July. Ted was head of the FBI in Los Angeles, Dallas, and Memphis. And I've just done a piece on him. You can go to the web. We talk about how Ted went from here to the afterlife. He said that he was being poisoned. Poison, arsenic, was being put on his steering wheel. It was on his car seat when he'd go down here to the prison to visit a friend who was there. It was set up and imprisoned by the boys who rule the world. And that happens all the time. It happens in England. It happens here. I'm sure it happens in Australia. And I hope that it doesn't happen in New Zealand. But I talked to his doctor, Dr. Edgar Lucidi. We've got a piece, it's up on the web right now. You can probably find it today. Ted Gunderson poisons. Ted Gunderson murdered. Ted Gunderson and Dr. Edgar Lucidi is talking about it. And I've got this last interview, or one of the last interviews I did with Ted, out in the Fairfax area around L.A. And he said to me that what Ted had died from, and this is bladder cancer, was brought about by arsenic. Arsenic poisoning will bring about the killing of the bladder. So his bladder was removed, his intestine, a portion of his intestine was used to replace it. So if you go to the web, those of you listening to this show or listening to other shows, you would like to pull this thing down. The poisoning of Ted L. Gunderson, former head of the FBI. His daughter didn't bury him for, I guess, about 3 months. I think it was maybe three and a half months. And people say, my God, why don't you bury the man? Because he didn't have an autopsy. She didn't have enough money to have an autopsy. And And that's what she was waiting on, is to have an autopsy. And it, according to Dr. Lucidy, showed arsenic poisoning. His fingers turned black, and then his body simply turns black, basically, or dark purple, upon death when you are stricken with arsenic. So, we
allegedly, there's now arsenic being detected in apple juice all across America.
Well, one
which
thing
I think is just fabulous,
sure,
you know. If you're trying to keep healthy and everything, you know, a little bit of arsenic's bound to be good for you if you go on an all juice diet.
Well, you've got a good advertiser there that's talking about some vitamins that will take out some of these toxic poisons. They are literally flushing the toxic toilets upon us. Literally, they take through Evergreen, which was bought by. Evergreen bought it from a thing called Air America. It used to bring in heroin into this country from Southeast Asia. For the CIA, of course. Of course, that was all in the name of patriotism, right?
I thought that was in the name of Abel Danger.
Well, maybe you
we ship the drugs in and ship the guns out. Have a war. It'll be fun.
Well, they had to develop a market for the heroin, and that was the soldiers. They will kill the soldiers. I have to agree with Kissinger, who said, military men are dumb, stupid animals. Dumb, stupid animals. They're used for political... They're pawns used for, you know, political... purposes to force countries into doing things that they shouldn't do, people into taking poisons that they shouldn't take. We have smart murder meters, which are being installed throughout the United States through a UN Agenda 21. They'll try to put them in. They'll try to replace the analog meters with these.
Smart meters.
It's not just smart meters. I'm thinking that we call them death meters. I have to stop and think about it. It's if we go to aircrap, C-R-A-P, aircrap.org, and you can get a lot of this. But one of the pieces that I don't have is the Christ Church story. So if you would submit this to aircrap.org, Vinny, I will guarantee that it will get up and it will get out. We also need to go to four other sites, aircrap.org, commoncrime.net, and ourenglanduk.com, and freeworldalliance.com and Free World Filmworks. I'm giving you a lot of stuff here, guys. Commoncrime.net, aircrap.org, ourenglanduk.com. It's all important insofar as getting this information to a level where it becomes viral and starts to go on its own. That's why I plugged the piece that we just did with on the death of, and I have to say some of the life of, Ted L. Gunderson. Dead from poisoning. Dead from cancer, which was a result of the poisoning. And when I say, on the Vinny Eastwood Show, you get this information. You get this information, and we need to get the information that you have on our site.
I've just posted it to your Facebook, Anthony, so you can copy-paste it wherever you like.
Well, we want it, and we need it, because I did not know about the four congressmen who left after...
It was actually nine.
Nine congressmen?
Like, Like, I believe because they were in New Zealand, they thought of themselves as the Nine Ring Wraiths.
Who are these bastards?
There's a list of them. What I've posted on your Facebook there, I actually read this out. Was Christchurch quake man-made? Look at the articles compiled by Guerrilla Media so far. Following is a list of articles compiled over various news sources, radio, videos, articles, blogs, a full spectrum of news to digest. And the fact of the matter is, you get told how you can make an earthquake. All the very interesting stuff that was going on there that day, reports from former Army intelligence who have interviewed on this show, a guy named Ben Vigden, who's also incidentally an investigative reporter, who gave an incredible breakdown on all of this, interviews with people who have actually worked in the HAARP program in the United States and in high-level intelligence, and they're saying unequivocally, yes, it's a freaking man-made quake. All of the coincidences, all of the stuff that's out there, and even some guy who managed to predict the quake by saying that the moon was coming over that particular region and might cause an earthquake. Turns out he was right. He'd been warning people about it for a while. And then, of course, he gets demonized in the media, and we've got that too. So there's so many ins and outs, as there are to any manufactured event. There's usually a quantitative cornucopia of articles and various exposés that you can go through in order to know unequivocally that the fact is that the fact is.
Well, what we need to do here, I believe, is make a deal with you. I'd like you to take our film, Air Auschwitz, Air Auschwitz, and on your show, put it out through your show. The profits on it, I'd like to be used to support your show. Of all of those things that are sold in New Zealand, so I'm making that offer. I hope you take it. That you make it
yep.
this film available down there, and if it's NTSC, which is the American format, or if it has to go into
PAL,
then so be it. But I'm going to offer and the profits from which will go to support the Vinnie Eastwood show. And if you've got a brain in your head, you should be supporting his show and this show and talking about it. And I know that Alan Karna will help. He's done his wonderful piece called The Lizards Are in the Bathtub or something like that. you know, and we talk about the Ike stuff about the shape-shifting and all of that. I don't know about that, but I do know that the people that go over to the Hellsfire Cave, and as they did in years past, and I've been in the Hellsfire Cave with a camera, they kill people there for the pleasure, as they do at the Bohemian Grove.
Broadcasting from the globalist, fondled, fabulous, fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, in the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. And to be specific, my very special guest is the fabulous Anthony J. Hilder.
Wait a minute. I just heard that New Zealand, Auckland, was fluoridated. This is the same thing that Adolf Hitler did to the prisoners. You mean to say that the government in Auckland is trying to out-Hitler Hitler?
Oh, I think they've managed to succeed. They've got more public-private partnerships in hand than Hitler ever did.
Well, the end of the public-private partnership here in Southern California is called Southern California Edison, and has in numbers about 30 million people. I think it's considerably more than all of New Zealand. And we have a public-private partnership called California Gas and Electric. My God Almighty! Hold on, 1 second. It must be the Grove. The Grove is calling here.
we've got a Grover over there, not the kind that you'll see fending off green creatures coming out of a trash can on Sesame Street. And speaking of Sesame Street, sometimes you need to wonder about the big birds.
Hey. People have an image of New Zealand as being clean and pure and healthy and wholesome. What sort of maniac in your city council in Auckland or mayor or lawyer or some other pimp or prostitute would shove that crap into the water system of one of the best waters available to the people in the world and poison it and then call it healthy? That's what they put in rat poison. That's what rat poison is made of. Do they consider your people rats?
I think they do. They might also consider us to be depressed mental patients, which is why it's also used as a binding agent in Prozac. We're pretty...
Vinny, listen, I'm missing a great deal here. Aircrap.org needs to get this information about what CommonCrime.net. I didn't finish my story. I was telling you about the Rothschild pyramid.
Oh, yeah. Well, we only have about maybe... we've got nearly 10 minutes. Go for your life.
He said, he was going on to tell me, he said, look, this fellow told some stories, but I don't really trust this guy. I don't believe him. And I said, what did he say? He said, well, he said that some of the townspeople... like the townspeople outside of Dr. Frankenstein's castle, they went out in the woods before this event. They heard an event was going to take place. And they were hidden back behind the trees. And apparently it was some sort of night vision, taking films or at least observing what was going on. He said there was a procession that went over to the pyramid. Royalty, rock stars, and the Rothschilds in long black robes. And I said, oh, no, no way. Now you're sounding like something that would go... they're involved in something you'd see at the Bohemian Grove in front of the Isle of Moloch or in some of the other ritual proceedings that the Masons might have where they would sacrifice people and they had the goat of Baphomet. In fact, the goat of Baphomet, if you take a look at Uncle Sam, Uncle Sam and the goat of Baphomet are the same. Put one face over the other and it'll match up. Uncle Sam becomes Satan. The Arabs talk about Uncle Sam is Satan. Well, Uncle Sam is Satan. And Henry Kissinger said, military men are dumb, stupid animals to be sacrificed, you know.
He has the scariest accent.
Our children, are we to go into these endless wars? This is insanity. And we have a lack of insanity on the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Well, I feel that you need to become one with the madness in order to understand it to a degree.
No.
And that's you've actually kind of touched on something there. Because
We do have to understand it. We have to route it out. And we have to have, like, digs. And we must join together and put all of the dots together. This thing in Christchurch, that... if that doesn't wake you up, if you're in New Zealand and you don't get the message, you've been drinking, sucking up too much of that fluoride. Just take that rat poison. Just order some rat poison. Just if you want to ingest it, take the rat poison. Go down to the pharmacist. Get the rat poison or the hardware store. Buy the rat poison, ingest it, but leave the rest of the water clean for the other people. The rats need rat poison. If you're a rat, If you're some sort of scumbag, if you're in the government, go and ingest this stuff. We want you on it. We don't want you off of it. It's like with these smart meters, these murder meters that they're installing, $140 million over here. They cause class 2B carcinogen. It's a class 2B carcinogen.
Of course, all sorts of things, including, incidentally, lowering an IQ.
It brings cancer. It's what it does. And they'll ratchet that up. They've got a rheostat. They can create a fire. Of course, if you've got gas and electric, they can create a fire for the gas. They can. It's part of this system through Agenda 21, ICLEI system. The grid system where they can kill people, and this part of the program to reduce the population of the planet by 95%, done by Ted the Terrible Turner. He's suggesting it. Kissinger, Rockefeller, the Rothschilds, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the boys. And we have people running for the presidency of the United States. Kane from the Federal Reserve Bank, vice president at one time, the Federal Reserve Bank, now suggesting we should support Newt Gingrich. Newt is in the Council on Foreign Relations. And then this other guy from Massachusetts, he's part of the Rockefeller Rothschild group. We don't have any conservatives. We don't have anybody but I guess Ron Paul, and insofar as the woman is concerned, she doesn't know the backside from a bowling ball, except for the Fed, she understands that. But my God, that's what we have as a choice or an alternative to what has to be possibly the worst president in the history of the United States, certainly the worst president in the history of the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, and I think to people, you know, if you don't believe that the elite are into the occult and magic, just wait until the eye of Newt Gingrich is in the Oval Office cauldron.
Oh, my God. You know, I've stepped in Newt before. You know, it's got it smelly, and you try to wipe off your shoes.
Yeah, there's stuff that you just can't get off.
Step in some Newt, and my God, oh.
But there is a lingering residue, isn't there?
That the Rockefeller Group wants to elect him if they can, or anybody of that ilk.
Just saw a video this morning of Rockefeller's talking about world government and kind of having a roast of somebody, but they're actually being really serious. They're like, oh, well, you know, as long as you go to the Grove and the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberg Group, we'll get you into office. That's what he said. In public, on video.
You've got to be kidding.
Everybody else is laughing about it, thinking it's a joke, but he's telling the absolute truth to them. And that's what's really funny about it.
The joke is on us.
Yeah.
Can I get a copy of that?
Oh, it's posted on my mate Will Ryan's Facebook wall. It was just absolutely hilarious. I watched it this morning. It's on the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com Facebook group.
Can you get it? Because I've got all of this stuff going on.
I'll get it to you, mate. Don't worry about that.
I'll put it up on Paradigm Shift. I'll put it up on Paradigm Shift, and this is on the Sky TV in England, throughout the UK. And then we'll put it into one of our films. I've got to have that.
Oh, it's a classic.
I'm sitting down at the moment. I'm in the city of Santa Monica, and the bastards out here, they're putting on the death meters. Not only are they doing that, but they poisoned the water with the and they're dropping the chemicals overhead with the death dumps.
Yep, it's a whole crazy world, and that's the point of the show, is you bring on those people who know the most about the craziness of this world, and you inject a little bit of comedy so that it doesn't have that too harsh an effect. Because the point of the show is not to wake people up, it's to keep those who are already awake
totally sane by having a little bit of a chuckle and a good time. Because if you're having fun, the audience is having fun. And quite frankly, there's enough dastardly, terrible, horrible stuff out there to feel bad about.